doing today? Send 0TR.
Hey, Tom. Oh, we're fine. I just leaving the dentist's office, had my teeth cleaned. So, head back home here. It'll take me about 10 minutes. Then Lane's gonna go do some grocery shopping, I know. So, what y'all up to?
Our niece is planning on some stuffed peppers for dinner, lunch, combination. So she's over here working. I was just looking at the computer, emails and such, and watching the news, and seeing them get clobbered up in New York. This one lady had 3.5 foot of snow, and I wish them well, and I'm glad they got it, and we didn't. Over.
I tell you, I have no desire to live further north than where I am right now. I think we're in the ideal climate right here.
I'm afraid the secret's gotten out, but yes, we got the honey hole of fishing spots and beauty spots and weather spots. Amy, our daughter, picked it out about 10 years ago, and I'm thankful for it. We really enjoy it down here. It beats the heck out of weather back up in the land of Oz.
Well, I agree with you. Having lived there some, and I really didn't appreciate it. I was there when I was born, and then I was there when I was in the 8th grade. I remember walking to school. I hated it in the wintertime.
I delivered newspapers in it, rain and snow and wind. And then I delivered drugs in it for the drugstore for a year or two, and on a motorcycle. And it was a bummer, I'll tell you. And then we lived there 62 years, so we know how that is, going out and shoveling a foot of snow out of the driveway just so you can get out of the garage. And then I had to work on stuff on the roof at times. At the place I worked at, there was a 13 or 14, I don't remember, million BTU stress oven I had to go up on the roof and work on, and two 245,000 gas-fed units on the paint room. And there was times when I'd have to knock the ice off the steel ladder, and then once I got to the roof, I would have to crawl on my hands and knees over there and work with my knees in the ice and my feet hanging over the edge of a 20-foot drop. And my head stuck back in there working on 480-volt three-phase equipment.
I often wondered why you're like you are now. Now I understand.
Toes, my eyeballs, and fingers, and never been burnt, knock on wood, because most everybody I worked with that worked on that stuff had been. And pretty scary stuff, Bill. And then there was times you had to go up on top of the 65-foot roof, and that was no fun either, but that didn't occur in the winter because the heating units were strung down below the ceiling. I don't know why they ever put them up there. There was two big air handlers in a new division there that were strung from the ceiling, 55 foot, I think, inside. And that was really loads of fun working off the top of a gearbox on a 20-ton crane. On that, I don't know what good it done. All the heat just went up to the ceiling.
Well, when you worked on that stuff, did they issue you a parachute?
Bill, they wouldn't even buy me a fiberglass ladder or a safety belt for years. I finally got a safety belt, but it wasn't a harness. It was just a belt, so if you fell, I can't imagine what the consequences would have been. And there was a lot of places where it just wasn't practical to wear it, like we'd pull a 12-foot wooden ladder up on top of the crane and then put it on top of the trolley on a greasy gearbox, and then take baling wire to the purlins and replace 480 volt ballast. Years later, they went to 277, but that's just one phase of 480 to ground to neutral. But those things weighed 28 pounds, and he had to take a rock wheel drill that was full metal case, of course, back then, tap it into the control transformer secondary on the crane and get your 110, and then drill out three or four holes and drop that down to your buddy below, hoping he didn't drop 27 pounds down on somebody walking underneath of you.
Yeah. Well, makes you wonder, where's Asha when you need them? Well, you're a young whippersnapper back then, so obviously you made it through all that.
We just lost one guy, and that was before I went there. He was chipping ice off of the hot bars on a 480 volt crane when he slipped off and fell, and he caught a piece of I-beam right under his chin, and he fell about 35 feet once. And then when they went inside, they found that one phase had been slugged with a quarter by 1-inch copper bar. So I think what he done was he got a hold of that one phase and then fell.
I can't assume you have to know what you're doing and know everything's dead. Well, that's too bad. Yeah, when I think about occupational hazards, I always think about how many workers were buried in concrete at Hoover Dam. that was a resting place for quite a few people.
I seen a thing on the Discovery Channel here a while back, and I think that was overly played. I don't know that they ever left anyone in it, but I think there's a memorial there to the... Well, I know there is. There's a memorial there to the people who died creating that dam because I just watched it yesterday on... I think it was Discovery. But I didn't see all of it. We were doing some other things. And I don't know. It looks like they had to try to recover it for the integrity of the concrete, doesn't it? This is N0TR.
Of course, with the pours that they were making, I saw that program, but it's probably been a couple years ago. And, I mean, just massive pours, you know. I don't remember at all how many tons of concrete they put in that thing, but it was really interesting in how they had to tunnel through to... for the bypass that they had going around the dam. And, I mean, you know, that's just amazing. Some of these engineering feats, not just in the United States, but other places, and actually some of the ones they did 2,000 years ago, they weren't stupid people back then either.
Yes, that was totally amazing how they lined those concrete trucks up and they could adjust the pour for the curing of the concrete and all. They're just totally amazing, those engineers out there like you. And thankful we had them with the... Now it's the Corps of Engineers, I think. But I do remember one figure that was astounding. That it had to... hold up 45,000 pounds per square foot, Bill.
That's amazing. So, I want I wonder how that equates to, like, depth of water, pressure of water in the oceans. I wonder. Seems like they gave some kind of equivalent one so you can understand what that's like. I mean, you know, get it in perspective. I can't remember. But anyway, it, yeah, that is amazing. And think about it. That's such a tall dam. You know, a lot of dams are long, but not all that tall. That one is so tall, and the water pressure down on the bottom, I mean, and you know, of course, the amount of energy that those turbines can produce is dependent on the drop, how far that water drops in the chutes. So, I bet they've got some, I bet they had some super duper turbines in there.
The water drops, they decrease the size of the pipes. And it starts out at 11 miles an hour, and when it hits the turbines, I remember them saying it was 85 miles an hour, but it was through a smaller pipe. And, you might be curious now. I just wonder what that would equate to in the ocean. I know when the different subs in our time that went beyond crush depth, the amount of pressure that a submarine would take, like at 1,000 foot deep. And I don't think they go much deeper than that, other than that one titanium one that the Russians built, that Typhoon, I think they called it. I think it could go 3,000, but don't quote me on that. I just know that it was a tougher superstructure than most. But that's what helped to bankrupt the Soviet Union was that submarine. So I don't, that's the one that has a swimming pool in it and everything else for the crew. That was an interesting show, but it turned out to be noisy in that, so noise kills in the submarine business, as you well know.
Yeah, if you're not stealthy, you're dead. Yeah, they had, I saw a program not long ago about some of these smaller submarines. I think it's a company, it must be in Sweden. It's one of the Scandinavian countries that makes a drive, kind of like the drive, you know, up for Red October. But it's it doesn't have the traditional propellers. And they had a couple of them in some of the games, but, you know, like NATO games, that they penetrated the U.S. sonar defenses multiple times. They got the interest of the U.S. government. So the U.S. government, I think, leased one of those for about a year or two, thoroughly examined it, and that's probably been 15 years ago. Over.
You are within 4 IQ. Yeah, Bill, I think they were hydrogen fuel cells, and otherwise I think they're diesel, but they once they go on fuel cells, they're totally undetectable, you might say. And the Chinese has quite a submarine force now, and they're using diesel electric, and they say they're almost as quiet as the nuke boats. What they're trying to do is hold off the American carrier force beyond which the fighter bombers wouldn't have enough fuel to reach their mainland if they can make us stand off far enough. But yeah, I saw that. I was thinking it was German. And they even have a missile now that can launch from a tube that'll take out patrol aircraft like I used to fly in.
Well, all kinds of stuff out there. And I knew the Chinese had a lot of those really stealthy boats. They don't have real long range, but evidently the U.S. Navy looked at them and nixed them and said, no, we can't use them. The big problem was their range, those really stealthy ones. And I don't remember exactly how the drive was, but it was my understanding, it didn't have props, but I could be wrong about that. And, it was a stealthy operation. But U.S. Navy said they had to depend on the nuclear sub because of how far off they had to operate. But I don't remember everything about that, but I was really amazed. Actually, that was on, I saw that on YouTube. Well, it is a YouTube presentation. Anyway, I have parked, and I need to get on inside here. And let Lane come out. She's got her grocery, and she wanted to use this car. Said fine. So I better run in there. Nice talking to you. I guess Bernice is listening, maybe. I don't know. But those stuffed peppers sounded really good. I love stuffed peppers. N0PR, N4IQ.
Okay, Bill. Great to hear you today. My neighbor just texted me a few minutes ago, and his wife just checked positive for the COVID-19, I'm sorry to say. We have not been around them, although we take stuff over to them quite often that Bernice bakes, because we can't eat it all. And but we haven't been around Veronica for a long time. But I won't go over there around Tim either. I haven't been over there for 3 or 4 days around Tim, and he doesn't have it. But she got up this morning, couldn't smell or taste well, and had a little bit of a cold, and she just tested positive. And she wears a mask all the time, so that's really scary. So you be careful out there and tell the wife hi. And Bernice said hi. 73's Bill, N4IQ, N0TR.
Yeah, get through it. Well, I think a lot of people have children in the area, grandkids, well, kind of like you are, have to be really extra cautious because while they, you know, probably won't get it at the grocery store, I mean, it's very easy for family to bring it in. When Phil came over the other day, he came over to pick up antenna, some other stuff. I told him, don't you get close to me unless you got a mask on. And I gave him what we had to give him out in the garage. So I really think we're really being careful until the vaccine is available, whenever that is. I don't know, April, May. Lane may be one of the earlier ones. When I was at the dentist, I was asking the my dentist when he thought they would get theirs, and they said, well, because the hygienists and all are probably one of the second or third riskiest healthcare workers, that they'll probably be getting theirs in January. So the rest of us, you know, further down pecking order. All right, Tom, you take care. I'm going to go on inside. 73's N4IQ.
Yeah, Bernice just got her teeth cleaned yesterday, and they're very, very careful. See you later, Bill. N0TR.
Hey, Bill. Bye, Bill. W2T Mobile. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I think Phil hit the button, but I'll let this off and see if he did. Good afternoon, Rusty. And I just had to look at the clock to see that. Oh, and by the way, I looked up that price of that wire that I got. It was a number 531 Silky that Bill recommended. And it was 35 cents a foot, so I guess that's what you're getting.
I'm getting it's like 22 cents a foot is the price on it. So that's what I'm getting here. Anyway, pulling in here to the gas station, got to put some goat juice in this car here, or I'm in trouble. I'll be back shortly. W2T.